material girl. And you know that we're living in a material world. Yeah. I bet Madonna never thought that song would be in a church somewhere on a Sunday morning. You know, we live in a material world, and we're material girls and material boys. Yeah, Cindy and I, we were at the mall. This is several years ago. I think I've shared this before, but anyway, anybody that knows me very well knows I love shirts, and I love a really, really good deal. And so I usually buy out of season because I want to get a really good bargain. And so I was walking by a very high-end store in this mall, and I noticed, I mean, it was like mega crowded, and I kind of peeked in, and I see all these 50% off racks. And so I could see people, they're checking out, they've got loads of clothes, and so I'm thinking, oh, I've hit the jackpot here. And so I started rummaging through a rack. I found a couple things I like. I don't know how you shop, but I've got kind of a process that I go through, and it's do I like the color? Do I like the print? Do I like the cut? Do I like the fabric? I'll actually carry it around for a while and just keep feeling it and yeah. And then one of my last checks is I actually drag it on the floor. Because if I think I'm going to buy it, I'll drag it. I look at it to see if it gets lint on it, because I'm a little OC. And so if it gets lint on it, I hang it back up, I'm out. But there's always a final hurdle when I get to the point that I go, I like it, passed all the tests, I want it. And so that final hurdle is that contemplation of what I would call the price tag moment. And so before I check the price tag, see, I haven't looked at it at this point, I guess what I think it's worth, and then I guess what I'm willing to pay for it. And then I'll search for that itty-bitty tiny tag, and I'll do the calculation, figure out what the discount is, and it's the price tag moment. And I'll ask the question, is this worth it to me? And I'll decide to buy it or not buy it based on that. So I've got a couple shirts on my hands. I find the price tag. I make the guess at what I think they're going to cost. And friends, when I looked at that price tag, I like grabbed my chest. You know, the sale on them. So the original price was $5.99 on one. That's $599. Yeah, and the other one was like $399, and so I did the calculation, which I don't know why I bothered, but it's like, okay, $300 for one, $200 for the other, and I'm like, whoa, you know, and I hung them up, you know, stay away from me. You've heard of sticker shock? Well, this is price paralysis. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It was a price tag moment. It was not worth it to me. I mean, it wasn't even in the stratosphere that it needed to be. And so I step back, and I'm watching all these people. They're shopping, and they've got bags full of stuff. Arms are loaded. I was near the cologne counter, and a guy's buying shirts. His tab was over $3,000. And I'm thinking, this is staggering. Well, we're living in a material world. It's mind-blowing to me. We all face price tag moments every day in our life. It's that cost-benefit of, is this worth it to me? I was reading a survey, this a while back, but they asked the average American, I don't know where they were doing the poll at, but they said, what would you exchange for $10 million? And it was kind of eye-opening, because 25% of people said they would abandon their family. 23% said they'd be a prostitute for a week. You know, 18% or 16% said they would leave their spouse. 7% said they'd be willing to kill a stranger. 3% said they'd give up their kids for adoption. And I'm thinking, I know parents that do that for nothing, you know. It's like, I'm just kidding. It was a hypothetical price tag moment. They did the mental and the moral and the economic kind of math on it, and they said $10 million, this would be worth it to me. I'd make the exchange. You a little shocked at that? Well, you know, we live in a material world. You know, this series, Mortal Kombat, we're kind of taking on some formidable opponents, deadly foes. You know, we're looking at the seven deadly sins. You might think of it as seven deadly attitudes. And these adversaries that we're looking at, they don't want to just knock you out. They really want to take you out. They want to diminish God's blessing in your life. You know, they want to reduce your spiritual potential. They want to drive a wedge between you and God, between you and other people. Seven deadly sins, seven deadly opponents. And so this morning, I would challenge you to get ready to fight, because today's opponent, it's greed. You know, we're living in a material world, and most Americans do not even realize that that's the case. It is one of the most acceptable sins in our culture. Actually, I should say culture just says it's not a sin. Be as greedy as you want. You know, if a person runs a business, for instance, and they mistreat employees, they undermine the competition by being dishonest, deceptive, overcharge customers, kind of gouge them, get whatever they can out of them. If they make a fortune doing that, you know what they call that? Success. You know, if a person builds a fortune, even if it's in an immoral way, a shameful way, you know, people celebrate it. They applaud it. In fact, you'll find a lot of people that they want to emulate that person. Yeah, I know, but I wish I was like that. Because, you know, we live in a material world. And a lot of people are being fueled by a thing called greed. You know, Jesus says this in Luke 12. It says, watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life is not determined by one's possessions, even when someone's very wealthy. See, greed is not just a foe for people of affluence. In fact, I would tell you some of the most greedy people I know are people that don't have a lot. You know, they spend hours of their day, you know, kind of dreaming and scheming about how they could get more and more and more. You know, stand in lottery lines, you know, convinced that if they could just hit the jackpot, it'll solve all their problems. It'll meet every longing in their life. See, greed promises much, but I'll tell you, it doesn't deliver very much at all. You know, very, very little. Greed will motivate you to try and earn more than you possibly need. You know, to own more than you can use. To ache for stuff that just will not satisfy. You know, greed will cause you to overwork, overspend. It'll cause you to even overrule your most deep convictions. It will tempt a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul. That's why Jesus says it's so important to watch out, to guard against greed. There, in the Gospel of Luke, there's a story about a young man. He comes to Jesus with a question, and He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I want you to think about this guy. He's a businessman. You know, he's done well for himself. And so he asks Jesus, says, what's the deal? You know, what do I need to do in order to secure heaven? You know, he's kind of negotiating with Jesus. You know, it's working on a contract, so to speak. You know what I want. So Jesus put the best deal on the table. Let me see it. Jesus kind of sizes this guy up, I think. And he says, oh, okay, Wall Street type, huh? Okay, let's deal. You want heaven, and in simple terms, I take it you would like a high payoff with very low risk, an investment. Am I understanding you correctly on this one? This rich guy, he's like, wow, he's kind of impressed. Yep, you got it. That's exactly, now time's money. Put the offer on the table. It's interesting, Jesus kind of pushes back at him here. He says, well, all right, yeah, for starters, let's see how you're doing. Have you mastered the Ten Commandments? You know, no lying, no stealing, no adultery, no dishonoring your parents. But all the commandments, you know them, right? Yeah, okay. I love it. This kid, he's cocky. Yeah, it says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. I mean, I crack up at this point because I'm like, oh, really? You know? He's claiming he's had no adolescent rebellion of any kind, no sowing, you know, wild oats, no disobedience, never disrespected his parents, you know. I mean, he just goes, yeah, all 10 of them, perfect, you know, no problem. I don't know how Jesus kept from laughing at that point, but he did. So Jesus is like, okay, so you think you got it all together. You've followed them all. You know, in fact, I imagine he goes, no kidding, huh? Yeah, that's interesting. So, okay, you got most of it right. Just one thing. I mean, this should be easy for a guy like you. I mean, a guy that says he's never disobeyed God and always does what God wants. So he said, so here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to sell everything you have. Give it away to the poor and follow me. Things get really quiet. You can almost picture the color kind of draining from this young man's face. It was a price tag moment. And it was a deal breaker for him. Scripture says that he was saddened and he walked away. Jesus, as he's walking away, he says it just loud enough so the disciples could hear it. He says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, which kind of sent the disciples on, they spend the next couple chapters talking about that with the disciples. But it's the only time that Jesus in his entire 3-year ministry that's recorded that he asked somebody to do this. Now, some of you may be getting uncomfortable, so let me just say, this is not the general requirement for entering into heaven, okay? It's about repentance, faith in Jesus Christ, period, okay? But you go, so why did Jesus ask this of this young man? Well, it was because he saw an attitude, and it was deadly for him. An attitude that I think goes on in a lot of people's hearts. You know, when greed gets center stage, it's what happens, and that's when it becomes very deadly. You know, it's something that you can't just go, well, I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm going to ignore it. You can't. Because, you know, we're living in a material what? World. And unless you are keenly aware of the power and the deceitfulness of money and stuff, I think the same thing can happen to us. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. You know, greed only needs just a little foothold in your heart. You know, it packs a powerful punch, and it will bring you to your knees. And here's the thing. At the same time, greed will keep you from kneeling before God, the only true God that there is. It's a challenge. You know, greed, it'll make you think you are smarter than you are, that you are bigger than you are, that you're stronger than you are. It will convince you that you're in more control than you are. And it will give you a false sense of power. Friends, greed, it's hard to detect. You see it in other people, but it's hard to see in yourself. You notice that theme throughout this so far? Easy to see in other people, hard to see in ourselves. Paul writes this, he says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. But who wants to get rich falls into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." I mean, why is this? You know, friends, how does this happen? Well, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." In other words, greed distorts the eternal price tag moment. Christ followers, there is a price for following Jesus Christ. And there are lots of price tag moments in your walk, in your Christian walk, you know, where those moments where you're tempted to say, you know, it's not worth it to me. I don't think so. In fact, I think it's possible to attend church regularly to kind of toy with that eternal price tag moment and just not deal with it, you know, kind of push it off and not pay attention. And here's what I wonder. I wonder how many people think they have everything squared away spiritually in their life. And if they were to face a moment like the young man we just talked about, and Jesus said, "Hey, I want you to liquidate out, give it all away, and follow me," how many of us would push back and say, no deal? See, we're getting at the heart here. Price tag moment. They're tense. We all have them. Maybe we don't acknowledge it, but we do. And here's my hope and prayer for all of us, is that when we face those moments, and we will, that they lead to faith. So how do we defend ourselves against this deadly opponent? You know, how do we overcome greed? Well, the first, it's a defensive move. You've got to acknowledge the reality of it in your life. You know, acknowledge that the power that greed has. In other words, don't be sitting there going, "Oh, well, this doesn't apply to me, you know, I'm exempt." You're only kidding yourself if you think that. Greed affects all of us, one degree or another, in some area of our lives. And you need to cultivate an awareness of when it happens, you know, and how often you face it. You know, how many times you dream or scheme or think, if I just had a little bit more, everything would be good. And to catch yourself in those moments. You know, be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that you get that little nudge and go, "Oh, no, I am not going down this road again." Because you can start recognizing it pretty easy if you're sensitive enough. You know, the Hebrew writer says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. I find it interesting. This is probably one of the most misquoted scriptures, and there's others like this, but people go, well, like money's the root of all evil. That is not scripture. That is not true. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, it's the love of money that will cause you to do the things that you shouldn't do. The fact is, you read through Scripture, some of the most iconic people in Scripture were extremely wealthy. They loved God, they loved others, and they used things. When you start loving things, you'll start using people. Well, it'll finish you when you start living that way. You know, most of these people in Scripture that we look up to, see, the money wasn't the issue. It's a heart thing. And I'm telling you, greed, it will finish you in your life if you're not careful. You know, you've got to learn to discern the difference between what I'll call healthy ambition. See, that's a good thing. But you got to tell the difference between that and deceitful drive of greed. You know, you've got to learn to kind of detect the signs at a very early stage, because you get too far down, you can't get it pulled back. In fact, I would encourage you to have a small group of people that you respect, that have some spiritual maturity, that love you enough to speak the truth and to say it with love, that'll kind of hold you accountable when you go, hey, I'm thinking about doing this or buying this, or I really want this, is kind of my goal, so that they can go, sound like it's getting out of bounds, or hey, go for it, sounds good. You know, another, what I would say is defensive move is you got to expose greed's deceitfulness. Much of greed's power is in the lies, the exaggerations, you know. In fact, greed attacks with deadly precision. You know, it'll tell you, you know, if you have a little more, you'll be what? Happy. Oh, we believe it, don't we? A little more, a little nicer. You know, it'll fulfill my longings. It'll solve all my problems. You know, it'll bring satisfaction. And friends, we believe it. We buy into it. Why? Because it's appealing, isn't it? I don't want you to misunderstand me. It's okay to have nice things. You know, but you've got to separate need from greed. You know, Ecclesiastes, it says, a person who loves money shall never have enough. The foolishness of thinking that wealth brings happiness. The more you have, the more you spend, right up to the limits of your income. So what is the advantage of wealth, except perhaps to watch it as it runs through your fingers? That's encouraging, isn't it? You know, we're living in a material world. And the plastic monsters, you all got them in your wallet somewhere. Credit cards? Credit cards has really messed all this up, because now you can take greed beyond the limits of your income, can't you? We've got a whole country that's doing it. You know, when it comes to greed, friends, do not buy the lie. And then there's another thing greed will tell you. It'll tell you that if you have enough, if you make more, that you'll be more important. You know, that's how you get noticed. You know, it's that concept of you are what you own. Your valuables determine your value. And in fact, I know a lot of people They believe if they could just acquire a little bit more, they'd be respected, they'd be looked up to, they'd be envied. That's a whole nother sermon. And so we buy things that we do not need. With money we don't have, and here's what gets me, to impress people we don't even like. What is with that? It's crazy. You know, too many people believe that, though. They believe if I just had more, everybody be looking to me. Why do we do that? We don't like the people that we're trying to impress sometimes. It's all an attempt to kind of prop ourselves up. It's self-worth. We put our self-worth in this. Friends, defend yourself against this deadly opponent. Do not confuse your net worth with your self-worth, because they have very little in common. You know, commonly ask yourself, and these are tough questions. I'm not suggesting they're easy, but am I expecting things to make me happy? Do I think things will make me feel more important? See, it gets a little rough now. And here's another lie, and that is the more you have, it'll make you more secure. That is not true. That is a lie. That one will take you and knock you out. Absolutely not true. Not true. So, you know, think about it this way. In fact, you can take this one, mark my words on it. You get a six-month notice from your doctor, you'll only think about two things in that moment. Will my faith sustain me into eternity? And will my family and friends be with me in the end? Nothing else will matter. Greed makes promises it cannot keep. Stand your ground. Stand up against the deadly enemy. Fight the lie that our opponent spews it all the time. You fight it with the truth you find in God's word. You know, Matthew 16:26, what does it profit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? You know, Luke 12 just says life does not consist of our abundance, of our possessions. That's not what life's about. You know, Ecclesiastes, a person that loves money will never be satisfied with it. You can never have enough of it. It'll trip you up. You got to take God's word, that truth, and begin to apply it in your life. And you go, well, why? Because we're living in a material world. And you've got to expose the lie, push back with God's truth. It's the only way you defeat this one. You know, apply it. Put it to use. Apply God's wisdom when it comes to your money and your finances and how you manage stuff. You know, follow some simple principles. And I don't want to mislead you here. So these are simple to understand. Not so easy to actually do sometimes. I get it. But live up to your God-given potential. You know, by earning a living. You know, by developing your skills and your talents. Continue to you know, be aggressive in being everything that God created you to be, that God gave you, and use that to make a difference in this world. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. When you have a gain, you celebrate it. You get a raise, you celebrate it. You get a step up in a position, enjoy it. But realize that God blessed you. And you thank God for that. Be content with what you have. This is a hard one. Because we want to, if I had that, I'd be happy. I'd be content. No, if you're not content now, you won't be content then. If you do not learn to be content with what you have, you will always be wanting more. You will always feel cheated. You will struggle with greed your entire life. Young people, hear that. Learn to be content where you are. It's one of the great gifts in life if you can do that. And this one's kind of closely connected, but live within your means. I just lost some of you, didn't I? Spend less than you make. You know, that's where you'll gain ground. And you give back to God. You know, the fact is, be consistent in giving. You know, we talk around here about the tithe and the 10% is kind of a benchmark. It's merely acknowledging God's sovereignty over your finances. And I know every time this even you even say something about this, there's pushback, you know. You know, some of you are pushing back right now. It's the deadly power of greed that makes us do that. You know, it's like saying to God and the world, I'm pushing back against greed. It will not have its claws in me, and I'm free when I do that. And some of you, I know it's a tough topic, but I would challenge you. You know, think about it this way. I'll help you. God didn't ask you to give everything away and follow him. You go, well, I would never. Just start somewhere. Make giving part of your life, you know, 3%, 4%, 5%, I don't care. It's a heart thing. You know, get a game plan. You go, okay, I'll increase over the next 5 years. And let God help you manage what you have. It all belongs to God. You're merely a steward for a little while. One day you're gone. You know, some of you, I bet right now you're having a price tag moment. In fact, some of you just woke up to the realization that you'll be in eternity longer than you're going to be on this planet. I mean, maybe it just hit you that, I've been holding back. Why do we do that? Well, I want sovereignty over my stuff instead of surrendering to God. Again, heart thing. You know, we're living in a material world. And so let's be very clear. You could gain the whole world and lose your soul forever. It's a deadly decision you make. You know, and I want to say something, because I know some of you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. You haven't made him Lord and Savior of your life. Friends, just pray and say, God, that's what I want. You know, God, forgive me of my sins. You know, I believe Jesus died for me. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. You know, come into my life, be the sovereign leader of everything. And then you just trust God and do it. And I know so many times we push it off because we're like, well, I don't know enough. You just start somewhere. Say, Savior and Lord of my life, and move forward. Christ followers. Maybe you've allowed greed to kind of creep into your life. Maybe you're living outside God's plan for your life. God's been saying, I really need you to do this, or need you to change this, or stop doing this. And friends, spend some time with God. Just doing business. Saying, you know, Lord, I've been pushing you off, and it's because I'm scared. It's because I'm afraid. Whatever. Just have a conversation. What is it God's been asking you to do? Price tag moment. Where is it you've been saying, no deal, I don't think it's worth it, I'm not willing to sacrifice that, and you've just been pushing God away? Friends, where is it? Here's what I challenge you to do. Push back against this deadly foe. Push back against this opponent called greed and finish him. Finish him. Here's what I know. God is all you need. Period. God's all you need. I'm not trying to make that seem simplistic. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm not saying that you don't have moments like, God is all you need. God's all you ever need. And if you're freaked out about stuff and you're worried about everything and you don't have peace and you're always thinking maybe if you just quit. God is all you need. He's all you'll ever need. Let's bow in prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. God, all of us here, we all have areas where greed gets in the way. I mean, it may be finances. It may be with our time. It may mean we're just not willing to sacrifice whatever it is. But Lord, I pray that every single person here would just hear your Holy Spirit. Say, here's the area you got to work on. God, forgive us when we get greedy with whatever it is. And God, give us wisdom so that we can live better, live freer, live with more peace and joy. God, help us to defeat this deadly enemy and to be who you created us to be, Lord. We give you the glory with all we say and do. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And God's people said, amen. There'll be prayer teams down front. If you need prayer this morning, maybe had something take place in your family, maybe a loss, maybe you're battling something physically or emotionally, whatever, come down and let them pray with you. You don't have to tell them what's going on, but they would love to pray with you. Scripture says we're two or more gathered, that God's in the midst of that. And just let them pray. Let's stand. Let's worship God together.